Rahman Rahim. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor, and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family, and his companions, and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Today, inshallah, we will have the seventh class in the topic of depression, Islamic prevention and treatment. And the title of the class today is An Accepted Dua to Ease Anxiety. Alhamdulillah, over the previous six classes, we learned about depression as a whole body illness, which is widespread all over the world. Islam has its line of prevention and protection and treatment of depression, which includes the following: the sincere belief in the oneness of Allah, the true belief in Allah's decree, patience, understanding the reality of the worldly life, remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to try food, exercise, and a good time of sleep as a protection from depression. Actually, I like every class to revise all the line of treatment of the Islam regarding depression, so that we always remember the whole line of treatment. Today, inshallah, we will learn about remembrance of Allah as a protection against anxiety, despair, and depression. But inshallah, I will revise again the whole line of treatment in a summary, so that we always remember all of them. Number one, as we agreed that the first and the most important line of protection against depression is the sincere belief in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This belief is the most important for the spirit, as it provides it with the feeling of belonging to Allah. Allah the only power, Allah the only will, Allah the source of all the mercy. This belonging will make the spirit to feel the link with Allah all the time, the trust, support, hope, power, peace, tranquility, and regarding the belief in Allah's decree, we agreed that in the Quran there are the rules of the belief in Allah's decree, which are very important for the believer to support him at the time of trials and hardship. Again, these rules in summary are: number one, life is run by the word be. Number two, none can interfere with Allah's decree. Number three, all hardships and afflictions are recorded before their creation. Number four, Allah burdens not a person beyond his scope. Number five, it may be that you hate a thing and it is good for you. Number six, verily with every hardship there is ease. Number seven, trials expiate sins. And number eight, the declaration of the believer regarding Allah's decree. Last week we learned about the reality of the worldly life from the Quran, and we learned the following: number one, life is a test. Number two, life is a deceiving enjoyment. Number three, life is a farm for the hereafter. Number four, the only way for tranquility and peace in this life is the remembrance of Allah. Number five, worldly life is very short. Number six, the worldly life is run by the decree of Allah. No one of mankind can interfere. Believing in the reality of worldly life make us to have the following strategy to protect ourselves from either despair or depression. Number one, to make the hereafter our main concern. Number two, to focus on what matters today. Number three, to appreciate the blessings of Allah. Number four, to keep ourselves busy with the work that we like. And number five, always to remember life is too short to waste it in depression. Today, inshallah, we will continue to learn about the line Islam, the Islamic line of prevention and treatment of depression. And today, inshallah, we will learn in full details about the remembrance of Allah as it has the best effect in calming the spirit, relieving the stress, and protecting against depression. Let us learn about the remembrance of Allah from the Quran and then from the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now we will learn about the importance and the blessings of the remembrance of Allah from the Quran, and we will start from Surah number 3, Surah Ali Imran, verse number 191. We will read from Surah number 3. We will read verse number 190 and 191. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن في خلق السماوات والأرض واختلاف الليل والنهار لآيات لأولي الألباب. الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم ويتفكرون في خلق السماوات والأرض ربنا ما خلقت هذا باطلا سبحانك فقنا عذاب النار.
Verily in the creation of the heavens and the earth and in the alteration of night and day, there are indeed signs for men and men of understanding. Those who remember Allah always and in prayer, standing, sitting and lying down on their side, and think deeply about the creation of the heavens and the earth, saying, O Lord, saying, Our Lord, You have not created all this without purpose. Glory to You. Exalted are You above all they associate with You as partner. Give us salvation from the torment of the fire.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing those whom they remember Him all the time as those whom they are the men of understanding. Okay, now we will read from Surah number 7. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سورة الأعراف. We will read verse number 209. We will read about many of the verses of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about His remembrance. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. سورة number 7, verse number 205. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. واذكر ربك في نفسك تضرعا وخيفة ودون الجهر من القول بالغدو والآصال ولا تكن من الغافلين.
And remember your Lord within yourself humbly and with fear and without loudness in the words in the morning and in the afternoon, and be not of those who are neglectful.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all the believers to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the morning and in the afternoon, so that inshallah they will not be of those who are neglectful. Now we will read inshallah from Surah number 9. سورة التوبة verse number 18. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أجعلتم ثقاية الحاج وعمارة المسجد الحرام كمن آمن بالله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Now we will read from Surah number 24 verse number 37 and 38. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Actually, we read from 36, 37 and 38 so that the meaning will be clear. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. في بيوت أذن الله أن ترفع ويذكر فيها اسمه يسبح له فيها بالغدو والآصال رجال لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة يخافون يوما تتقلب فيه القلوب والأبصار ليجزيهم الله أحسن ما عملوا ويزيدهم من فضله والله يرزق من يشاء بغير حساب.
And in houses which Allah has ordered to be raised, to be clean and to be honored. In them His name is remembered, that is Azan, Ikama, Salat, invocation, recitation of Quran, etc. Therein glorify Him, Allah, in the morning and in the afternoon or the evening. Men whom neither trade nor sale divert from the remembrance of Allah with heart and tongue, nor from performing as Salat, nor from giving the zakat, they fear a day when hearts and eyes will be overturned out of the horror of the torment of the day of resurrection, that Allah may reward them according to the best of their deeds and add even more for them out of His grace. And Allah provides without measure to whom He wills.
Alhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying that He will provide out of His grace for those whom they remember Him with their hearts and tongue. And actually the form, there are many forms of remembrance of Allah, which includes a salah, a recitation of the Quran, and coming and also Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, asking Allah for forgiveness, sending prayers on Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All those are forms of the remembrance of Allah. Those whom they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and actually they perform the salah and they give the zakah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward them out of His grace, and Allah provides without measure to whom He wills. Now we will read from surah number 29, verse number 45, to know about the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the reward and the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those whom they always remember Him. Verse number, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
45.
Yes. Verse number, surah number 29, verse number 45. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. أُتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون.
Recite, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what has been revealed to you of the book, the Quran, and perform as Salat, Ikama, as Salat. Verily, as Salat, the prayer prevents from Al-Fahsha, that is the great sin of every kind, unlawful sexual intercourse, and Al-Munkir, that is disbelief, polytheism, and every kind of evil victim, and the remembering praising of you by Allah in front of angel is greater indeed than your remembering praising of Allah in prayer, and Allah knows what you do.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying to us in this verse different forms of remembrance of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about recitation of the Quran, performance of the as-salah, and Allah is clarifying that when you will remember Allah in your prayer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will praise you, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, more greater than your praise to Him, and Allah knows what you do. Okay, alhamdulillah. Now we will read from surah number 31, verse number 27 and 28. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Surah Luqman. ولو أنما في الأرض من شجرة أقلام والبحر يمده من بعده سبعة أبحر ما نفدت كلمات الله إن الله عزيز حكيم ما خلقكم ولا بعثكم إلا كنفس واحدة إن الله سميع بصير.
And if all the trees on the earth were pens and the seas were ink wherewith to write, with seven seas behind it to add to its supply, Yet the words of Allah would not be exhausted. Verily Allah is Almighty, All-Wise. The creation of you all and the discretion of you all are only as the creation, of a single person. Verily Allah is All-Hearer, All-Seer.
Okay. Now we will read also from Surah Al-Ahzab, Surah number 33, verse number 41 and 42, to know about the importance of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اذكروا الله ذكرا كثيرا وسبحوه بكرة وأصيلا.
Oh, you who believe, remember Allah with much remembrance and glorify His praises morning and afternoon, the early morning, Fajr and Asr prayer.
Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying again here that remembrance of Allah is a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the believers. Okay, and inshallah now we will read from surah number 63, verse number 9, to know more about the remembrance of Allah in the Quran. Surah number 3, verse number 9. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu la tulhikum amwalukum wa la awladukum an zikrillah. Wa man yaf'al dhalika fa ulaika humul khasirun.
Oh, you who believe, let not your properties or your children divert you from the remembrance of Allah. And whosoever does that, then they are the losers.
Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, is reminding the believers that they must remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time and not to make their properties and children to divert them from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because whosoever does that, then they are the losers. Okay, now we will read inshallah from surah number 73, verse number 8. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. 73, Surah Al-Muzzammil, verse number 8, to know that the remembrance of Allah is a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to all the Muslims whom they are following it. In Surah number 73, verse number 8, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, waskur isma rabbik, wa tabattal ilayhi tabtila.
And remember the name of your Lord and devote yourself to Him with a complete devotion.
Okay. So again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding Prophet, this is for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and for all the followers of Prophet Muhammad, that they must remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and devote themselves to Him completely. Now we will read inshallah from Surah number 87, Surah Al-A'la. We will read verse number 14 and 15 so that inshallah we learn about the importance of the remembrance of Allah in the Quran. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Surah number 87, verse number 14 and 15. قَدَ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّى.
Indeed, whosoever purifies himself shall achieve success, and remember the name of his Lord, and praise the five compulsory prayers and the nafil additional prayer. And prayers, right?
Oh, yes, and the prayers. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying that those whom they will achieve the success are those whom they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and whom they pray for Him the five prayers, okay? Whom they pray, you know, the obligatory prayer, those are the one whom they will achieve success. These two verses are clarifying the importance of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we will read from surah number 62, verse number 10. الله الرحمن الرحيم. And actually verse number 9 and 10 from surah number 62. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمْعَةِ فَاسْعَوْا إِلَى ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَذَرُوا الْبَيْعَ ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةُ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ.
O you who believe, when the call is proclaimed for the Salat on Friday, come to the remembrance of Allah, Allah, religious talk and Salat, leave off business, that is better for you if you did, but no. Then when the Jummah Salat is ended, you may disperse through the land and seek the bounty of Allah and remember Allah much, that you may be successful.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying again that when you will, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, pray the prayer, this is the form of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding the believer, the men. This is for the men. Okay? When the prayer call for Friday prayer is there, they must leave everything and they must directly move to the masjid so that they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the prayer. When the salah is ended, they can seek the bounty of Allah, but still they have to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a clarification that remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be actually on the tongue of the believer all the time. Okay, now we will read from surah number 8, verse number 45, to know about the importance of the remembrance of Allah in the Quran. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا لقيتم فئة فاثبتوا واذكروا الله كثيرا لعلكم تفلحون. You who believe, when you meet force, take a firm stand against and remember the name of Allah much, both with tongue and mind. So that you may be successful. Again, it is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way for the success for the believer in every event of his life. So now we will know about the ahadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding the importance of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, number one, that Allah said in al-Hadith al-Qudsi, this is what Allah said, I am with my servant when he remembers me. If he remembers me to himself, then I remember him to myself. And if he remembers me in a gathering, then I remember him in a much better gathering, that of angels and prophets. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who remembers his Lord and does not and the other who does not are like a life and a dead. This means that remembrance of Allah is the soul in the Muslim's life. If you want to feel that your spirit is alive, you must remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time, because the dead are those whom they don't remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is a shine for everything, and the shine or the polish for the heart is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you do or you make a sin, okay, then you want to polish this one, okay, and you want your heart to shine and to get rid of the sin, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the way. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, who shall be the most virtuous and the best person in the sight of Allah on the day of judgment among Allah's servants? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, those men who remember Allah a lot and those women who remember Allah a lot. A person asked the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are so many things to do in Islamic Sharia, Islamic law. Please just tell me something that may suffice. If I take it seriously, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, make sure that your tongue is always busy in remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't talk too much other than Allah's remembrance or zikr, as this hardens one's heart. And when he forgets, the devil puts evil thoughts. This means that when the people are always talking, you know, talking about the worldly issues, you know, this will make their hearts to be hard. You have all the time to talk and to keep on mentioning the remembering of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that the evil will be away from you and will not put evil thoughts in your mind. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is very important. There of the paradise will have nothing to regret but for the moment on the earth in which they forget to remember Allah, they will be sorry for that. You see, subhanallah, the people of the paradise, you know, they will be, when they will realize how was the remembrance of Allah the way for them to the paradise, they will be so sorry for any moment they missed remembrance of Allah, you know, when they were on the earth. Because remembrance of Allah, the more will be also the rank in the paradise. Okay, so you will appreciate how the remembrance of Allah was so important when you have its reward. Okay, inshallah, in the paradise, but still you will be looking that you never miss a moment not remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and getting the reward of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, let us now know about the importance of the remembrance of Allah. Why the remembrance of Allah is so important and mentioned in the Quran repeatedly and in the ahadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it is a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and its reward will be great. When the believer is sincere regarding his belief in the oneness of Allah, Allah's decree and the reality of the worldly life, as we agreed over the previous classes, this clear belief will make him to be sure of the following facts. Allah the Almighty is able to do all things. Allah the All-Wise makes all the choices for His servants and runs their affairs. Allah runs His servants' affairs is better than the way the slave would do it for himself. Allah the All-Knower knows better about His servants' interests than the servant does. Allah the Most Merciful is more merciful towards His servants than the servant to himself. The believer will be sure that he can't progress or regress any further than the limits that Allah has decreed for him, as nobody can change the will and the decree of Allah. Again, worldly life is just a deceiving enjoyment, and the hereafter must be the main concern. When the believer knows all this, he will submit himself to his Lord and hand over his affairs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having the full trust in his mercy. This believer will always feel that so long he is obedient to his Lord, the most merciful will always choose the best for him, a feeling which makes no space for worry, distress, grief, fear, or depression. This will guide the believer to the need to remember his Lord all the time, as remembrance of Allah becomes the essential source of peace for the spirit. You see, this is how all the, you know, the guidelines of Islam are connected together. Alhamdulillah. Now we will learn about the forms of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The most important, the most high is the recitation of Quran. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the superiority of the word of Allah, Holy Quran, over the word is the same as the superiority of Allah over His creatures. This is the Quran, because the Quran is the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O people, read the Quran. On the day of judgment, Quran will intercede for those who used to read it. Again and again, sisters, it is not just to read the Quran or to tajweed the Quran or to tulawa the Quran. It is to believe in the Quran, to follow the Quran, to live the Quran as a way of life. When you will live the Quran as a way of life and you will remember the words of Allah and you live your life according to the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran will intercede for you on the day of judgment. So the most important form of the remembrance of Allah is the recitation of the Quran, living the Quran in your life. Number two is as-salah. Okay, as-salah is the link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you will have the link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will have the link with all the light of the heavens and the earth. Because Allah said about himself in Surah An-Nur, Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth. So if you have the link, the sincere, the true link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we clarified before, you will have the internal light, you will have the external light, you will have the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything will be clear for you, and this is the importance of the salah, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it the first deed to be evaluated on the day of judgment. Number three from the forms of the remembrance of Allah is al-dhikr. Al-dhikr, now we will mention some of them, which are Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Astaghfirullah, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the best of al-dhikr is La ilaha illallah. Okay. Today, inshallah, we will concentrate on one of the forms of remembrance of Allah, which is ad-du'a. Okay? Ad-du'a is an important form of remembrance of Allah. Ad-du'a, which is called prayer or supplication, is very beneficial, as it includes both the protection and treatment of anxiety, sadness, despair, and depression. Again, sisters, we are in the classes of depression, and we want to know how Islam protects the spirits from the depression. Okay, and as we are learning today about the remembrance of Allah as a way to protect the spirit and to treat it from depression, one of the forms of remembrance of Allah is dua. And now we will read from surah number 40, verse number 60, to know about the importance of the dua, inshallah, and the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the believers to do the dua for him. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قال ربكم ادعوني استجب لكم ان الذين يستكبرون عن عبادتي سيدخلون جهنم داخرين.
And your Lord shall invoke me, that is, believe in my oneness, Islamic monotheism, and ask me for anything. I will respond to your invocation. Verily, those who scorn my worship, that is, do not invoke me and do not believe in my oneness, Islamic monotheism, they will surely enter hell in humiliation.
SubhanAllah. So, sisters, alhamdulillah, the dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very important, and actually it is a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, we have many classes about the dua. Today it is the relation between the dua and the sadness, despair, and depression. We must know that the dua, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, regarding depression, the Muslim is obligated to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to call on him all the time, so that his dua will protect his spirit from sadness and depression. Let us learn dua, a dua which is very effective in preventing distress before it happens. There are some dua to prevent the depression or the anxiety, and some dua also to treat the anxiety. Now we will learn one of the dua which is important in preventing distress before it happens. Dua which is very effective in preventing distress before it happens is, O Allah, I seek refuge with you from distress, grief, incapacity, laziness, miserliness, burden of debt, and from being overpowered by men. This is the dua which can prevent distress. Now we will learn another dua, which the one who is worried about the future can see. That dua is, O Allah, make me adhere properly to you, to my religion, on which all my affairs depend. Make this world good for me, in which is my livelihood. Make my hereafter good for me, in which is my ultimate destiny. Make my life increase in every good thing, and make my death a respite from every evil. A number of other du'as to do with the distress and anxiety have been narrated in the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now we will mention some of them. Ibn Abbas reported that when the Messenger of Allah, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, felt distressed, he would say, "There is no God but Allah, the All-Powerful, the Forbearing. There is no God but Allah, the Lord of the Mighty Throne. There is no God but Allah, Lord of the heavens, Lord of the earth, and Lord of the noble throne." Anas reported that when the Messenger of Allah was distressed by something, he would say, "O ever living, O eternal, by your mercy I seek help." Actually, we will mention many of these dua. You can memorize the most easy for you, the one which you can memorize. The problem is not to learn many dua. Okay, the problem is to memorize one of them, so that you keep on remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by repeating this dua all the time, so that inshallah you will be always in a state of remembering Allah, having a link with Him, protecting yourself from anxiety and sadness. So you can choose the one which is more easy for you, or the one you can memorize, okay, and inshallah you keep it on your tongue all the time. For example, this one: "O ever living, O eternal, by your mercy I seek help." This is, you know, you are mentioning the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, eternal, ever living, and you are asking the help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of His mercy. Okay, Asma bint Umair radiallahu anha said, "The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the dua of the person who is in distress is, O Allah, for your mercy I hope. So don't leave me in charge of my affairs even for the blink of an eye. Rectify all my affairs. There is no God except you." Actually, this dua in Arabic, I always mention it, you know, I memorize this one. La takilni Allahumma, la takilni ila nafsi tarfat ayna wala ila ahadin min khalqik. Okay, la ilaha illa ant. Okay, don't make me to depend or to be looking for anything, okay, from any of your creatures, okay, and don't leave me in charge of my affairs, even for the blink of an eye, because I know that I don't have knowledge, I don't have wisdom, I can't take care of anything. I want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be the one to take care of all my affairs all the time. Today, inshallah, we will learn in full details about a recommended dua from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to ease anxiety. It was reported from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "No person suffers any anxiety or grief and says, O Allah, I am your slave, son of your slave, son of your female slave. My forelock is in your hand. Your command over me is forever executed, and your decree over me is just. I ask you by every name belonging to you, which you named yourself with, or revealed in your book, or you taught to any of your creation, or you have preserved in the knowledge of the unseen with you, that you make the Quran the life of my spirit, the light of my chest, and a departure of my sorrow, and a release of my anxiety. But Allah will take away his sorrow and grief, and give him in their stead joy." Okay, So it is clear, you know, that actually this is this dua, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, which we always mention, you know, in our dua and in the khatm, when you finish recitation of all the Quran, this dua is included, and actually it is one of the accepted dua and recommended dua to ease the depression. Now, inshallah, I will give you the meaning of this dua, as Imam Ibn al-Qayyim said about this dua in his book, The Provisions of the Hereafter. Okay, we will divide the dua and we will have the meaning of every part of it. The first part of the dua, which is, O my Lord, I am your servant whose father and mother are your servants. What is the meaning of this statement? The meaning of this statement is the true knowledge and recognition of Allah the Almighty, as it clarifies the belief in Allah the Creator of everyone, and that all mankind are His creatures and His servants. When you do dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you must clarify to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the belief in His unity and the belief in His oneness. You must clarify to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you know who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of the heavens and the earth, and whom you are the servant. You are a servant. Your father is a servant. Your mother is a servant. Okay, so this is the true knowledge and recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how we are supposed to start all our dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second part of the dua is Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. My forelock is in your hand, your command over me is forever executed, and your decree over me is just. This true belief and recognition means that your fate is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You believe that my fate is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, number one. Number two, that my destiny is moving according to the divine plan. Number three, Allah the Almighty does whatever He pleases with it. Number four, the servant can neither bring benefits or harm to himself. Number five, that the servant can't bring about his own birth, death or resurrection. Number six, that the servant has no power to alter his destiny except as Allah wills. Number seven, that the servant is totally dependent on his Creator, Sustainer, and the Lord. Number eight is that the servant's own existence is subject to whatever Allah decrees, and that Allah is just, and what Allah wills shall be. This part of the dua includes two cardinal aspects which are the core of the belief in Allah's oneness and decree. The first is the recognition and confirmation of faith, and that the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come in reality and the servant can't escape it or rebel it. And number two, the second aspect proclaims that Allah is just, that He does not oppress His servant, and that what Allah decrees is due by the divine justice and knowledge of the needs of the servants. This is why, you know, sister, this is very important to be clear in the spirit of the believer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is controlling everything according to His justice, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the just. Why? You have to be sure of this fact, because injustice represents the need, ignorance, weakness, inferiority of an unjust person. And therefore, such attributes are not divine, and they can't come from the One, the Master, the Lord, the All-Knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is not in need of any. You see, this has to be clear to the spirit of every believer. When someone will have a big disaster in his life or in her life, she is not supposed to say, Allah is oppressing me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending for me a disaster after one after the other, because I am oppressed by the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before using this word, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is استغفر الله العظيم. You know, because this world does not suppose Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make oppression, you know, haram. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that oppression is haram. And He made it for Himself haram and for His servants haram. So we are not supposed to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is oppressing anyone. We are supposed to believe that this oppression equals to injustice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not the one to have this quality. Because again and again, injustice represents the need, ignorance, weakness and inferiority of an unjust person. Why human beings are unjust? Because they are either ignorant, weak, or they have inferiority complex. So they start to cause problems for the others and they are not just. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord, the Master, all-knowing, the one who has the only power, the only will, and all the mercy. He is not in need of anyone. Allah is the just. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's wisdom is operative where His will is ordained. Allah is rich beyond any need and everything is poor and seeks its nourishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all wise. There is no single atom throughout the entire universe where His will is not operative. We have to know this because this will be the source for the protection of the spirit of the believer from any sorrow or upset or distress. Why? Because I believe that the most merciful, the all-wise, the all-knower, the only power, the only will, He is controlling this life and He is planning my decree according to His wisdom and to His knowledge and to His mercy. Because He is not in need of anyone. And the life is run by Him and He owned me and He owned everything. When I have this belief clear in my spirit, I will accept all the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believing that this is the best for me, okay, and this what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me to live, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is preparing for me, inshaAllah, the outlet in this life and in the hereafter, all praise to Allah. It is only the true, real, sincere belief in the oneness of Allah and in the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which will make you to raise your hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with full trust at the time of the disaster that, oh Allah, I am sure, inshaAllah, according to this dua that I want you to make. You see, now we will move, you know, to the next part of the dua so that you will feel how the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make you to have the sincere dua, accepted dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When I am alhamdulillah a true believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I clarified in details, okay, I will call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to the third part of the dua. How Prophet Muhammad called on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the third part of the dua. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, I ask you by every name belonging to you. Because this is the source of the mercy, the source of all the good in the life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when I ask Him, I will ask Him by every name belonging to you, which you named yourself with, or revealed in your book, or you taught to any of your creation, or you have preserved in the knowledge of the unseen with you. Okay? So he is calling on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the true believer. Just on Allah and, oh Allah, with all the names which you only know. I am calling on Allah with all the names for what? To make the Qur'an the life of my spirit. What is the Qur'an? Again, it is the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the spirit of the believer is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believing that if there is a mercy, it will be from the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the link of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because, you know, he believes that everything is only up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The spirit of the believer is very clear about who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do, how I can get rid of any distress except through the names and the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he is calling on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the Quran. He didn't call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tell him, make for me an outlet or give me this or give me that. No, he called on Allah by his names to make the words of Allah, the Quran, the life of my spirit, the light of my chest, departure of my sorrow, release of my anxiety. You see, sister, this is alhamdulillah, you know, the blessings of the true belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us in the third part of the dua to call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon Allah's most holy names and the divine attribute he proclaimed in his kingdom, revealed in his book, taught to a servant or kept as his soul secret, so that no angel of the nearest and most exalted status or prophet or messenger have ever known or asked by it. You know, now I will clarify to you this again, because you know, to know this dua, actually you must be memorizing this dua so that you can follow with me. You see, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by what? By every name belonging to you. How to know this name? Which you named yourself with, number one. Or you revealed in your book, number three. Or you taught to any of your creation, number three. Or you have preserved in the knowledge of the unseen with you. This is the name which only Allah knows. No prophet, no angel knows. The true believer is calling on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the name which only Allah knows. Okay? So this is, you know, sister, this is how, you know, we have to call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? Because when you call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, with such invocation surpasses all supplication. And of all the prayers, this is the dearest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most worthy of immediate reply, because it proves the servant knowledge and recognition of his Lord. You see, this is the most important in the life of the believer, is to have the clear, sincere, true belief in Allah, which I can convey this message to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while I am doing the dua. If you can convey this message to Allah with this sincerity immediately after the dua, you will feel that you get rid of all the distress and all the worry and all the sadness, because alhamdulillah you link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the best way which Allah likes. Accordingly, in the fourth part of the dua, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prayed to Allah to make the Quran the life of the spirit, the light of the chest, the departure of the sorrow, and the release of anxiety. Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This means that he is praying to Allah to make the glorious Quran the prime of his heart, meaning the spiritual food of the body, mind, and soul, and through the Quran, to wash away and get rid and cure the stress, the worry, and the concern, making it the one conclusive medicine that will extract illness and restore the human being to his true status and balance. Hence, he asked his Lord to make the Quran the light of the spirit that removes any confusion that interferes with the clarity and wisdom. So this is the recommended dua for the depression, anxiety, and sadness. And actually, as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you call on Allah with this dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take away the sorrow, grief, and will make him for that believer in their study. Instead of this, Allah will give them joy. Okay, so again, sisters, there are, for such medicine to work, there are special conditions. If you want that dua to work for you, there are three conditions. Number one, the one who is doing dua must be trustful in his asking Allah for it. You must be trustful that you are asking Allah for the Quran. Okay, not you are making this dua so that Allah will solve your problem with your husband. No, when you call on Allah, you call on Allah asking him to make the Quran, you know, the Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I want to use the same words. I will use the same words. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. the life of the spirit. Okay, so are you in reality calling on Allah at the time of distress and at the time of disasters? Your call on Allah is to solve the disaster, or you are in reality, you are saying the truth, calling on Allah to make the Quran the life of your spirit and the light of your heart and the departure of your sorrow and the release of your anxiety. Are you in reality saying the truth to Allah, that you are believing that the departure of your sorrow will be through the Quran, the release of your anxiety will be through the Quran? Actually, I think this is the question which every Muslim has to ask himself or herself before raising the hands to Allah. Are they saying the truth to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when they are calling on Him? The second condition is that you must be sincere in the trust that it is effective. Okay, because you can call to Allah, oh Allah, make the Quran for me the light and the life and the departure, but in reality this will solve my problem in my worldly life or not? You see, so the sincerity in the trust that when you will have the Quran and the life and the light and the departure of the sorrow, this will be in reality effective for my problem in my worldly life. And number three, to use the dua as it is prescribed by the physician Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To have the dua, you know, to do the dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the full belief that inshallah, out of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will make for you an outlet. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make, inshallah, Allah's willing, that the correct use of the medicine, this dua, will be followed by the complete recovery, excellent health and vitality, and Allah is the supreme helper. Now I will give you again, sister, the summary of this dua, because actually every Muslim must memorize this dua. To tell you the truth, if you believe that the worldly life is test full of disasters and full of calamities and problems, okay, so this means that I will be always exposed to situations of sadness, despair or loneliness or whatever. How can I protect myself against that sadness will be depression, or upset will be depression, or, you know, this loneliness will make me to be far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through keeping this remembrance of Allah in the form of that recommended dua of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and other dua. But this dua, why this dua? Especially because you are calling on Allah by His names and you are looking for the words of Allah to be the departure of your soul. Okay, so again, in summary, the summary of this dua indicates the following: the slave should admit that he belongs to Allah and that he can do without Him. You know, this is something has to be very clear to your spirit, okay? And that he has no other master than Allah, and that he should be a slave to Allah, to announce his submission to Him, obey His commands, and heed His prohibitions, and Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, to believe that he is accepting Allah's decree, and he should pray to Allah using all his names and ask for what he needs. And a believer in Allah the Almighty, we need to protect ourselves against depression, as we learn its damage to the whole body and to the life. We need to remember our Lord all the time. We need to memorize this dua so that we can call on Allah all the time. We need to love the Holy Quran so that it becomes a cure, healing and treatment for the sorrow, sadness and depression. Inshallah, next week we will learn about other line of the Islamic way of prevention and treatment for depression. And inshallah, now let us make the dua.
I noticed last time.
You make a lot here, you know, it is always in my bag like this, then I get like this, then I get like this. Alhamdulillah. Let us make the dua. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. صلي وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد آله وصحبه وسلم. Oh Allah, our Lord, inspire us with good conduct and save us from our evil. Amen. O Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all loves in us, and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us.
Amen.
O Allah, controller of the hearts, keep our heart firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship.
Amen.
O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. Ameen. O Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. Ameen. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. Ameen. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. Ameen. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the day of judgment and a life of happiness. Ameen. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor. Ameen. From a change in your protection. Ameen. From your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ameen. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds, our last deeds. Ameen. Ya Allah, make the best of our life, our last moments. Ameen. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life, the day we meet you. Ameen. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell. Ameen. From the torment of the grave. Ameen. From trials in lifetime and after this. Ameen. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make our husbands and our offspring comfort to our eyes. Ameen. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and favors upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Ameen. You know, sisters, let us always say Ameen, because you don't know, maybe this is the last dua in your worldly life. Maybe you will not be able to say any other dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is recommended to say Ameen after the dua, so that inshaAllah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it inshaAllah for us accepted. InshaAllah we continue next week.